This is Kristen.
And
this is Isha.
Welcome to
I'm Not a Peach Crayon.
And we're back.
That's right, for another great episode of I'm Not a Peach Crayon.
And this time, let's see, we are reading the book from the Inheritance Trilogy. In my brain, I always forget, but I know what it is. The 100,000 Kingdoms. But you know how my brain is. It always wants to like remove words or add words or change words. Right. But anyway, it was her debut album from N.K. Jemisin.
Debut book?
Yeah. It's been a very long 7 years right now, y'all. So leave me alone. This was her debut novel. And it's a book it's from a trilogy. But the actual first time, honestly, that I heard about this author was when, what was it? Probably like a year or two after I moved back from this from Korea, where I started like actively looking for writers of color, specifically women who wrote speculative fiction, sci-fi, horror, fantasy, like all the genres that I really loved, because I was trying to get back into reading. And I had read a lot while I was in Korea, but you know, sometimes it's hard to get certain
books
there, especially in English, luckily without having to pay like more money to have it, you know, sent or shipped over.
Yeah.
Luckily there was a good bookstore in Seoul that I could frequent, but even then a lot of it was like hand-me-downs. Anyway, long story short, the first book I actually read by her, because this is the second book, and I've been meaning to finish it, the duology, is it was called the Dreamblood duology.
Oh.
Which I didn't know. So now I know what the word is for when it's two books in a series. Duology.
Okay.
But when I moved back to Chicago and started looking up stuff, that was one of the first books I started finding. And I read, it was like The High Blood Moon or something, or The Killing Moon. And in it, there was like this, I'm not going into too many details, but basically it was set in this other world where, you know, there's this elite class, and then there's this whole other secret godlike world of fantasy and mythical beings, but they can get into your dreams. And the way there was a certain group of people who go around who are tasked with like, I guess, helping people along
right.
into their journey or okay. through their dreams, and shit goes haywire. There's a plot afoot or something. I won't, that's as far as I'm going to go into it, because it's actually been a minute. That was like 5 years
that's
ago.
That's a really interesting story idea. I'm interested. Now you've got me interested in reading that story to see kind of how it plays out.
Yeah, I really liked it. It was at first, when I remember being like, and maybe it's because what I was, all of the things I was doing at the time, I was having trouble to kind of get into it. But then once I did, I was like, oh. And I, now that I'm thinking about that book after the fact and reading this one, I was like, I can see a lot of the way she is very character driven in her story creation.
Yes.
Like, she does great with world building and everything like that, but it's very much like character driven writing. Like, it's almost this, and the different viewpoints she hits, like she did second person in this book as well as first person point of
yes.
view. She bounced around, but it never, like, there'd be times where my brain was like, wait,
who's talking?
Who's talking? But then,
what are we talking about?
But to that point, there's points where even like the character Yain is how I read it, because I didn't have the audiobook. But as she goes through certain things and starts asking questions, there's points where Nefa goes, but why does it matter? Like in her conversations, or does it really, like, what does it really matter to keep asking these questions, or should you just kind of move forward with it? And so when I did that, then it just kind of flowed along. I mean, there's still points where I was like, wait, I got to go back and read this, or like, I have to soak it in, but it read pretty well for me. I know you had some backdrop stuff you want to do, but that was my introduction into the author, and also why, like, when we saw this book at Semicolon, I was like, yeah, you should get it, because I was buying a bunch of other books, so I couldn't get that.
Right. And I got it because I was like, oh, it sounds interesting from what I was reading, and like you were like, oh yeah, N.K. Jemisin. And I was like, I had never read anything, and I hadn't heard of her until you brought it up. So I was like, okay, let me get a chance to actually like get this trilogy, because it'll be something that at least tied me over for a minute, and read it. I never ended up getting a chance to read it because life happened. But for the podcast, I was able to at least get a copy of the audiobook, because my eyes, when I looked at the ebook version, because so we didn't have to try to share the same book, my eyes were just like, no.
I know, it would have been
let me get the audiobook. And it just happened to be very, very fortunate, because I was like ninth on the list and all the copies had been like taken out. Yeah. And so I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna have this, or am I gonna have to like break down and get like the free trial of Audible from Amazon so I could get the listen to freak of the book. And so in the 11th hour, the library came through.
I think you told me like right before I went on my trip.
Yeah. And it was like, yes, you got time. And here's the book. And I was like, oh, great. Let me get that. But before I hop into that, just a little bit more about the author. Her name is Nora Keita Jemisin.
I don't know. We had to give her a full name. She goes
it's
that
on.
Her,
it's
but that
on,
but she goes by on. It in writing. You
yes,
never see
that. NK,
but it's Nora K is actually how she likes to go by in the interview I saw.
Oh.
If you have to use her name.
Okay, Nora K. That makes sense on her personal website when you get to nkjemisin.com, where you can learn about her. But I have to say, what I really liked when I went to Google her, and why does that never sound good?
When Googling somebody?
Yes.
Because they purposely named Google so you could say to Google somebody and to mess with your mind. That's okay. The whole reason it's named Google.
Well, anyway.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I really liked how it reads that she is an American science fiction and fantasy writer. Nothing about her race. And I was like, a lot of times
they'll say African American or whatever.
Yeah. And I'm like, why do we have to put her race in there? Like, she's a writer.
Right?
We don't do that to white writers. We don't say like this white writer. And so
it also depends if it's Wikipedia who wrote the.
Right. But I really do like the fact that they just say she's American science fiction and fantasy writer. And on her website, when you could read about her, and I like how she gets a chance to, you get a chance to know more about it. New York Times called her the most celebrated science fiction and fantasy writer of her generation. And as you said, Nora Kay is a best-selling author of speculative fiction, short stories, and novels, who lives and writes in Brooklyn. In 2018, she became the first author to win 3 Best Novel Hugos in a row. She has also won a Nebula Award, 2
Get
Lucas
it.
Awards,
Get
and
it.
Is a recipient of the MacArthur Genius Fellowship.
I was going to say, when I was looking at her long list when I first came across her, she had so many books and short stories, and I was like, damn, girl, what you been up to? Also, just because I was interested, maybe this is things that have changed, but like with Octavia Butler, they say was an American science fiction author and multiple recipients.
That is a recent change, because when I've looked her up before, they always have said that she was African-American or Black writer. So I like that change, to be honest.
It's hard. I feel like when they're set, they're like, because like with Tomi Adeyemi, they say Nigerian American, which I wonder if it's because she's like what second for,
but
like,
I mean,
generation.
But that's
like
that's culture and not her skin color,
right? So I'm trying to think of like other writers, because this might be just a recent across the board change for Wikipedia in general, you know, as opposed to like maybe just her profile.
That's true.
I'm just curious, because I was like, damn, I didn't
even.
This
part was from Wikipedia that I read first about her being an American science fiction writer. That comes from the awards that she won, that was on her personal website.
Right. They have it on there too. But I thought it was curious, because I was like, yeah, I do remember in the past when you're like looking at stuff, or when people write articles and stuff, they're like African American, but they or Mexican American writer. Or, you know, Chinese American writer, but I guess I didn't think about it until you said it again, or I didn't think about it again until you said it, and then I was like, oh, I'm curious, like, if that's just her or if, like, across the board they're starting to change it or what.
Very interesting questions. But back to the book.
Never!
If you have not read it,
oh,
stop right now.
And go read stop. It. And then also rejoice because I remember I told you that Tomi Adeyemi is going to have, they're finally going to have the third book.
Yes.
I sent you, you never listen. No. You never read the text messages I send you.
I did. What text?
I sent you an Instagram. Girl, that was like days ago.
You know me at Instagram.
If
I'm just
send you a link,
it.
You know it's because it's important. Or it's funny.
But usually either, I watch it. I'm going to have to go back and see.
That's the two things you should do. You should go read The 100,000 Kingdoms.
Or listen to it.
Or listen to it.
If your eyes just say no.
I was telling Kristen earlier, I was very surprised that I got through that book as quick as I did. Because I started it.
Once she pulls you so deep into it, you just can't put it down.
And I had to take, a 4 to 5 day I had work too, so let's say 5 to 6 day because I took a backpacking trip and couldn't take that because can you imagine trying to carry this book with me?
If something had happened to my book while on that backpacking trip,
it would have been left in the forest for the forest animals to read.
And I would have been more
it wouldn't
upset.
Even have made it that far. Literally, it would have stayed in the car and been at the beach because there's no way in hell I was carrying this thing.
Yeah, that's the whole entire trilogy right there.
Right? So anyway, go watch, go listen, go read it, and then also celebrate because yay, more representation, which is something that NK talks about a lot, is that she, just kind of like how Octavia Butler, when she saw the red girl from space or the something girl from Mars.
Right, whatever it was that she was like, I can write something better than
this. And also the conversations of like seeing yourself, like, to when you want to see yourself in stories, and like she was talking about how she once was at a library when she was younger and she asked a librarian, like we all have done as young people of color who are interested in speculative fiction, sci-fi, things like that, of like, where are these authors that you go find? Right. And of course you got middle-aged white dudes, all the big names, and it's like, to a point, I mean, we read them, we enjoyed them because that's what we had, but there was still this kind of like space, almost this divide of like, I can't see myself fully in this story. I can imagine myself in my own story potentially with this as a base or foundation to imagine, but when I think of a lot of the characters or the things I used to read, they'd be like, the weird ones were the redhead curly girl hair girls with freckles, or the dark brown hair and brown eyes, you know, that kind of thing. Those were, or they were pale and black haired and stuff like that. There weren't that many,
right,
if any, that I can think of that I had access to or knew of.
For me, the first time I think I picked up a series that was a fantasy series where I could at least, in my brain, from the description, envision black people, was when I read Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time. And I was like, in my head, I don't know if he meant to do this, but in his world creation, I could see the various different people within our world represented within the world that he created, including black people.
I didn't read that when I was young, so.
Well, I didn't read it when I was young. I was not young. I was an adult because a friend of mine was like, oh, you gotta read this series. It's really good. And I was like, well, okay, because I like the science fiction, but still it was like a white man who wrote this series. But that was the first time I was like, he put black people in here and not like in a like they are,
you just assume they're in the background.
Yeah, in the background.
Because that's how Tolkien and what's his name with the lion and the cabinet.
C.S. Lewis?
Yeah, I just, like, I had to make myself imagine that, oh, they just excluded us from the main story, but, like, we're somewhere in the periphery. Because even with, like, watching TV shows and movies, like, the only real representation we had as kids in shows that were, like, sci-fi and stuff like that, like, something like Star Trek, where you had, you could see at least a few of us in roles that were
good roles,
leading roles or whatever.
Yeah. but it was only maybe one at a time. Like, it was like there was a quota system. Like, you could only have one black person in space at a time.
Well, they had two for a minute, but one of them had to be an alien because there was Worf and Data. Not Data, Worf and Geordi.
Well, then that was three because then you had I can't remember.
Guinan.
Guinan, yes. Woo!
I was like, oh, I'm about so to then take it was off like,
okay, now we got three, but at least Whoopi Goldberg's character looks like a human person and not an alien.
And then it was Cisco. It was
Benjamin Cisco and his son.
Was there any other black people on that?
I don't recall any other ones except for Cisco and
there might have been like some side characters that popped on, like for, you know, those side episodes. Like, but we digress.
In and out. Yeah.
This is one of those things though, like a lot of these authors that we've grown, that we've been finding for this show and like just exploring on our own, were like, all of them are, you hear the same thread of like, I love these genres and I enjoyed these stories to the point, or maybe like I read these stories and I was like, where am I at? Like they all were the same as us of like, where are we in this story? And they were just in the space to be like, well, let me make this story. Like,
I got an idea about what it is. And I have to say, when I started this story, I was like, okay, so what's going on? And a lot of things that I saw, or when I was listening to the story, were things that I was like, I can definitely see certain elements of our world in her writing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. That's an interesting way of like talking about colonization and, you know, taking wealth and having military might. And then, because I was talking to you about like what's going on with Niger, where you have the French government saying, oh, it's a coup, in many Western countries, like it's a coup. Mm-hmm. But for the people of Niger who've been forced into poverty with all of their wealth and riches going to France and being held by them and them not being able to have anything for themselves and having puppet, you know, leaders. For them, it was independence. Like, we finally are trying to throw the yoke of get our independence. Right.
It's going to be messy, but it's not them.
Right. And it's not some kind of, like, fake independence. And I'm concerned about how that's going to turn out, because knowing the U.S. and these Western powers, but
I digress.
Well, we
got to do right now.
I digress. But I could definitely see a lot of things happening, and I was like, oh, that's very interesting. But I have to say, since I listened to the story and the names came across different for me, like Yaina, I was just like going through this journey with her and like what's going on in her relationship with Enifa and the other characters that she meets along the way, because it all kicks off because her mother is murdered and she's trying to figure out, who killed my mother?
Right.
And why?
And you only get it from the perspective of her and this one other side point that you find out later in the story, like what that other side point is. But like one of the things
which makes it seem kind of weird when you first start, because it sounds like she's going, because it seems disjointed.
It seems like she's recounting a story to someone. And sometimes, you know, where like you forget a part and you come back or whatever. So you're like,
but suddenly the other person is also injecting in while she's trying to remember. So it does seem disjointed.
And you're,
until you get to the, aha, I see why it's like this.
And you're suddenly kind of in the beginning trying to think about like, who is the person she's potentially telling the story to?
Yes.
Because sometimes two writers write it where like, hey, I'm telling it to you, the reader. And sometimes it's like the conversation with someone else is where you get those kind of other feedback or input when someone else is talking. And one of the things that I realized is that she, N.K. Jemisin, has like a masterclass. So I went to watch a trailer because I was interested.
I saw that little clip from YouTube for her masterclass.
Because I was curious about like what she would talk about. And one of the things in another short clip interview that I saw was that she talks about, like I said earlier, she creates from a very character driven, but she looks at the different perspectives. So she, like when she gets an idea, she thinks of like all the different points of views, like different points of views come in. She literally in her head kind of writes it out, or she might write it out to a paper, but she said she like puts it out in those different points of view. And then she kind of pulls herself back from it and like goes on a walk or whatever, something. and whatever the right point of view or the character that she needs to be writing about will like kind of make itself known. And then she talked about how she, so one of the things I found out, I didn't know this until reading this book, was that she went to school for psychology and she used to work in the field of like soft sciences, so psychology.
Right. I saw she went to Tulane as a for bachelor's.
Yeah. And so she puts a lot of that in how she addresses the characters and how they react to things and trauma and like the things that are irrational, but are, it's like irrational behavior, but it's rational because of the context of like trauma and response and like how you perceive things and how messy love and relationships and...
which is what you see in the story, because, and that brings out a good point, because it is messy and Yaina is 19 at least when the story starts, and so as she's going through this, she's learning that I feel like one of the biggest, the
most, about her mother,
the most telling things is when Varain, who is the palace scrivener, he talks about
he's
his
basically
relationship,
the right hand man to the king.
To the king, or, which is our grandfather Dakarta. But Varain,
and Varain,
yes. But Varain is like, because when Varain tells her something about her mother, she gets upset and she's offended by it, and she was like, "My mother wouldn't do that. You don't know my mother." And he was like, "No, you don't know your mother."
He was like, "Children don't know their parents before they became their parents."
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she was basing it off of her experience of her mother, where she saw her mother interact and how her mother interacted. But then I was also thinking, when she talks about how the people in Dar reacted to her mother, because they didn't like her mother because she's an
Aramari.
She was one of the Aramari, which the ruling class. And then she goes to kind of this backwater, they call them barbarian, like countries that is being pretty much ruled over by the Aramari or subject to the Aramari. And so how they basically, you know, call her a bitch and they say all these negative things. They don't say anything in front of her father about her mother.
Only the grandmother.
But he took his mother aside for that though too, but still, just having how that whole interaction of like, she was offended because she was like, "My mother doesn't deserve this," but I was like, what do they know about your mother that you don't know?
Because weren't an adult, you weren't around.
Exactly, no one's gonna tell you the horrible truth about your parents.
And your parents usually aren't going to be the ones to tell you the horrible truth about themselves or the trauma, even not even just the horrible truths, but also the pain sometimes that they experience, the things that they go through. I mean, we used to hear stories all the time from Dad about like the silly shit that used to happen while he was in the military. But it wasn't until we started to get older that we started to hear more of the horror part of that, the sad stuff, the things that would F any person up.
Yes.
And I think there was a level to like Yaina?
Yaina.
Is it? Okay. Yaina this is going to be hard because in my head I was calling her something totally different. She, every time she talks to anyone with a different image of her mother. And that it was really pointed when, there's a conversation that she and Naha, who is the god of darkness in this book.
It should be a movie,
right?
Thinking that TV show.
When I ended, I was like, damn, this could be a mini series.
Yes, it would definitely be a good series.
Give me like a 3-part, 4 hours.
Oh,
I'm
my
good
goodness.
With this. But anyway, there's a point where he's talking to her, and I forgot the exact context of it, but he's asking her what she wants. Cause like everything is kind of crazy and she finds out kind of what her purpose is or why she was brought to the castle and that she's truly alone in a sense,
right?
For the reasons that she's brought there and the things that happened that led to her birth and also led to other certain choices that her mother made. And she's talking about how she's kind of like, you know, I didn't get a chance to have my own life, which we've all, you know, a lot of teenagers, you know, when we get to a certain point, because our parents are to a level controlling of our lives because they pay for us, we live with them, they navigate a lot of what we can and can't do. and this is not specifically saying that's what Yaina's thing was, but it was like all these decisions that and these responsibilities were put on her before she was even born or before she was even old enough to like have her own life.
And she was being trained.
And she's being trained and moved through these spaces and used as a pawn. And so Nahadoth. It's spelled N-A-H-A-D-O-T-H. I'm just telling you, as someone who didn't have the help from the audiobook, this is what we had to do. So he asked her, like, what would you want for yourself? Because he's like, I want to be free and all the things that come with that. And she's like, I'm tired of being what everyone else has made me. I want to be myself. And he's like, don't be a child. And she gets upset because she's like, how dare you? Like, you should be feeling sympathy for me. And he's like, you are what your creators and experiences have made you. Like every other being in this universe, accept that and be done. I'm tired of your whining. And it's like that kind of like, I don't know. For me, there's a point in your life where you can only like blame everything else for like there are things that are part of you.
Yes.
And there are reasons that led up, because we were talking earlier about the decisions of the past and like how slavery. So long story short, y'all, at my job, I basically had to explain why slavery was the reason I didn't know who my ancestors are, where they came from.
Right.
And the conversation with those people were like, oh yes, it's a sad story. It happened this long time ago, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, no, these little instances, these choices, these things that affected my past do affect who I am today.
And they affect the present in which we currently find ourselves as well.
But at the same time, I cannot sit in a space, and that's what he's saying to her, you can't sit in a space and be like, woe is me, I don't have any choices, or blah, 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 because there are choices you can make. There are things you can do. And even if like it seems like there's fate or destiny, there are things you can do to make it your own. Kind of even like when she was talking about her own death and like having the choice of how she dies. But like if she had to die. So, spoiler, but you don't know when that happens. Anyway, still that conversation though of like we as adults, when there's a point of like, or not even just as adults, us as human beings, where we have to acknowledge the fact that these are the things that influence us and they have import in the way we move through this world. But to be like, woe is me, and that's the only thing of who I am, is doing a disservice to yourself and like the things your ancestors had to go through, the things, the choices that, and the reasons they made, whether good or bad. And so like you should stop, not so much stop whining about it, but like, what are you going to do about it? Like, you can't just stay there sitting in the anger.
I feel like that is where the benefit of age and experience comes in. Because Nahadoh has quite a few years of life and experience compared to her. Because she's 19 and he's more than, like...
He's before he's time itself.
Yeah. So, they're, like, that makes a huge difference in how you see things. And as well as the fact that as she's going through this, what you notice about her is that she continues to fall back on the things that she learned from her mother and her grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
She mentions her father once, but for the most
part,
he
must have died earlier in his life.
Yeah. But because I was like, there were parts where I was like, the moral of the story is it is great to have a good grandmother because she will help you get out of a lot of trouble if you listen to your grandma. But it was just, but that was the thing. Like all the things that her grandmother and her mother prepared her for, because they knew in some degree what her life would be and that she needed to be strong. And so
it's interesting though, the grandmother,
it is interesting.
She kind of kept a distance from her.
But that all ties back into certain family dynamics as well, where sometimes the children pay for the sins of their parents, or the choices, or the grandparents too.
Because like that's because there's even a point. Not to interrupt your flow, but I just thought it was interesting. The grandmother, when I thought of it, at first, I was going, "Yeah, she definitely did it." But at the same time, the grandmother, I guess she taught her by not being available to her or being harder on her,
and it's very possible that she might, that may have been the reason why, is because a lot, there are times where you will have to stand on your own and you will only be able to fall back on what it is that you know and on yourself. And you might not be able to trust the people around you.
I feel like that was more of like she would just say like that's darn women.
But
that was like more her culture teaching her than
but still her culture. And once her father was dead, who was there to teach her that? Was her grandmother.
I think it still seemed like it was, not to nitpick the, but it just seemed like her grandmother did the customary stuff, but it seemed like more like her grandmother was so you all missed the internal dialogue between Min and Krista.
Yes, we have going back but and forth about it.
It's basically, we're going to keep moving on from that because that's just getting into the nitty gritty of like how you perceive things when you're listening to an audiobook versus how you perceive things when you're reading the book. So outside of that, you were hitting another point though.
Well,
about having two women in her life.
Well, now I can't remember what it was since my point was interrupted. So I don't know.
I figured you had notes.
No, I had a thought and now it's gone. So go ahead.
Well, so we were talking earlier about the reason why she ended up being there. And one of the two things you find out is that Yaina's character is biracial, for lack of a better word. And so her mother is from the high ruling class that has basically conquered the entire continent. Whereas her father is this like from this lowly country in the continent who somehow the tale you get in the beginning is that somehow her father has been able to capture the heart of the cold hearted Amari princess and now whisked her away and she was disowned. And it's like this fairy tale story with like sadness, but fairy tale. But her mother's been killed. And so her, part of her reason is that she's been commanded to come back. But the other part is she's trying to figure out who killed her mother. And you find out as she is there and arrives and as the story moves along, you learn more about the history of the gods and how the creation of the world was. And so in the story, there are three beings who are gods who created the whole world. And it starts out with two siblings. The first is the brother, Nahado, then you get Intempest, and then you have Enefa, who is the third. And so you have Naha, who is chaos and darkness and like change. And then you have and like the night sky and things like that and all the things that happen. And then you have the light, who is Tempest. Yeah. And so you have the light and
he's order and law as well. Go ahead.
He's order and stability and law. And then, so it first starts out with Naha and it's just him alone. And so there's a point that I thought was really well written where he's talking about how it was just him. And he like basically engulfed himself and ate his own mind
he tore himself open in order
to create everything.
Yeah.
And then the brother comes along and they're at odds because of course they're opposites of each other. And so there's clashing until they become the opposite, which is love. And so they go back and forth between being lovers and friends and tolerating each other to like battling. And so this maelstrom, which created both of them, then creates this third being called Enefa. And she's supposed to be balance in life and death and kind of like creation. And so you get little bits and pieces. And I kind of sometimes like when writers don't give you the full details, or if they do give you details, you're like, here's the story, but then it takes you, but is it really the story?
Well, because the thing is, like, Yaina is grown up like many of the people in the 100,000 kingdoms, learning that Etempus is the supreme god, and that Enefa convinced
the betrayer.
The betrayer to betray him and to fight against him, and because of that Nahado and Enefa end up getting punished, and so Enefa ends up dead, and Nahado ends up punished.
And then all their children, because it was both Intempest's and
the children of all that betrayed that fought against Etempest and stayed inside it with Nahado,
killed or enslaved.
Yes, are killed or enslaved. So there are only a few of them left.
And there was an interesting conversation at the beginning that when Viraine is kind of like instructing Yaena on the Inephida, is how I'm going to pronounce
Inephida.
It. Inephida, see? is that they don't even call them gods anymore. That would be kind of sacrilegious. They're like, the word isn't slaves, but they're slaves. Because
exactly. They, it's like, so, we're not going to call them what they like, are.
They're tools, they're weapons.
Well, they don't call them weapons.
They're like, tools of some sort.
They were like, no, the Inephida is right. It's they like, we don't want to call a spade a spade. We just want to be like, yeah.
And so, Yaena, I just want to say the name that I had because it helped with the whole story. But anyway, and she asks, does Inephida mean tool, or is it just slave in another tongue? And the son of, or one of the children of Inepha and Naha, was that he said it means we who remember Inepha. And she was, and he like starts to tell her this like this basically sacrilegious thing, because if anyone's heard speaking about the other gods or worshiping them or saying anything that's not a part of like all hail
in Tempest, you get executed you are terminated with extreme prejudice,
right? And so, but they call her the betrayer,
right? Inepha's the betrayer, but Etempus,
he was a piece of shit.
But the thing is, it's very interesting because later on, and we've spoiled certain things, he's deemed as being mad. And it was like, but like what, exactly, what has made him, but it's the things that he's done, that he's created.
Mm-hmm. And his own fear.
The problems that he's found, and that Yaena ends up having to also recognize that part of herself as well, because she was like, oh, this is how this all started, and I can't go down this road.
The jealousy road.
We know where that ends, and we know what happened the last time.
And I think that's something interesting that even though they kind of, I don't want to say brush over, but it was a common theme throughout, or it's kind of the whole reason why this all happened, is that the loneliness we create for ourselves because either we're afraid of change or we get comfortable in certain things, or we only want to have something to ourselves because we're afraid that something will happen if it changes or we let something new in. Because the whole point that Intempest was like, he's like, you know, I tolerate you, but we had time and it got good. And even though we fight, it's still okay. I prefer that. But like, now you're asking me to do all this other stuff. And you're asking me to do this, and you're asking me to do this, and I don't like this
other person, right? Here, into this,
and you might love her more than me, or you might love these children more than me, and
which
they're
goes
messing
into
up my
also the stories that we tell ourselves as well. Mm-hmm. Not just like, hey, you know, not just the fear, but also the stories that we create in order to reinforce that fear. Because I was watching something on YouTube, because I have a tendency to do really foolish things with my time when I'm bored. Like, watch videos on YouTube. But one of them was, there was this interview with this white guy. Well, he wasn't being interviewed, but he was calling into this other person's show. And they were talking about Deion Sanders because people, I guess, were really freaking like going off because he lost a game after winning. So many. And so people were like, you know, like we're rising up or whatever, or like people were being racist for whatever reason. And so one of the things was that in this particular show, when they were talking about what was going on and how, you know, they were calling Deion Sanders like Coach Thug and all that stuff, like just stuff that was not necessary because it's a game, right?
Yeah.
People win, people lose. Not a big deal.
People get real up in their cups about it.
For sure. But one of the things that I found very interesting that this caller said, and he was white, and he was saying how to see Black people succeed, or especially Black men succeed the way Deion Sanders has, he was like, it makes us feel that we can't do that. And and he was like, and
why is
he mentioned
specifically a Black man?
Well, and see, but the thing is, like, But the thing is, like, the person whose show it was, who was a black man, he was like, but that's not a us problem. That's a you problem.
Yeah, you're but putting now you're putting your fears.
Yes, mm-hmm. And so we end up having to bear the brunt of your fears because right. you have not been able to recognize that that's a you problem, and you're the ones who are feeling inferior. Because he was like, y'all got volleyball, y'all got all these other things that you can do. Like, you got wrestling that y'all are good at. He was like, why do you have to sit there and just try to...
And there's not only one best of everything. You can be both equally good if you have the skill and you put in the work.
Exactly, because the coach for the other team was a white coach. His team won. It doesn't make him a better person than Deion Sanders. It just means that his team won at that time, and the other team lost. It happens. Mm-hmm. Like, no one wins all the time. But it's what you do about it. But for this particular man that was talking, he was like, you know, Tiger Woods came and we had golf. And then he, because of his success, he was like, we're still reeling from that. And I was like, how many freaking years ago was this? Why are you still like on Tiger Woods? I'm like, does he even still play? I was like,
yeah, apparently he does. Someone told me he does.
But the thing is like, you have created, and like D.L. Hughley said, The scariest place for black people is in the minds of white people, because it's what you create in the story you tell yourself, which is what gets people killed.
Which is so funny, because at the same time, so I was watching, and I'm not going to spoil it, but I was watching The Other Black Girl. I haven't read the book yet, but there's a conversation where one of the characters is like, girl, do you think that white people are concerned about all the bullshit and anger that's going on in this world, and we're caught up here in our anger at like how shitty the thing is for us.
Yeah.
And it's like the two sides, and this makes me think of like how NK said in that interview or whatever about how she writes from different points of views before she writes the story itself, to like be able to see that like you have the fear internalized from In Tempest.
Right.
But then you have the other side of that point of view of like the people who are like, yeah, you know, because like you said, Yaena was like, oh, shoot, let me be careful, because I'm also capable of this kind of jealousy or loneliness or this spiral. Right. But like, this is just what I'm trying to do. I'm just kind of trying to create balance. And then you have the other side of the person who is like, I'm afraid of change and I don't know how to work with it. And here's my fear, and so I'm going to use this to unleash this horrible thing upon the world and enslave the children and the person that I love, because if I can't have you the way that I want, then I'm going to chain you down so that I still have some control over you.
Right, and I know you can never leave me, because I know exactly where to find you all the time. You can't go anywhere.
There's just, as I was reading this, there's so many layers of how she talks about, you know, the brown people, the browner skin people are from the more barbaric lands, and how.
I liked how she mentions darklings, and you're like, so what is it, why does he use that? But she also explains later on in the story, like, darklings are what they call people who are not as... What was it? Basically, as educated or enlightened as they are, you know, because the Darrens had their own culture and their own ways
of doing things. You're talking about that conversation with Shamia or whatever her name was, when she was making fun of her Darren culture.
Samina. I have to say, I really appreciated how the women in this story are strong.
There's different versions of themselves.
Very different versions, but you can have like. And they don't take Samina especially. Like, I feel like she's a great antagonist. She don't take shit off of nobody. And she was like, I wish your mother was here, because she would give me a run for my money.
Right. The only reason she tolerated her grandfather is because he had the sigil on his head.
Yep, because she was like, if she could have found a way, she'd kill him too. Everybody knew Samina. They were like,
And the thing is, she like played, because there's I was thinking about this too, of like the conversation that this book also has of like this attempt to control power.
Yes.
And think you have control of this power and using it to put fear into other people and really playing with this dangerous thing, mm-hmm. not knowing when it's going to explode or backfire on you. And I was just thinking about, like, in the context of, like, our world and how, like, the ruling oppressive class has been able, for the reason why they were able to take over for much of it is because they just happened to be lucky to have the money and the artillery in that moment. If someone else would have had it first, you know, it could have been totally different. And it's like the Amari or however you say
it, Aramari.
Aramari, it seemed like they were just the god after the gods war, they can't. Impetus came down and was like, oh, y'all look the most structured, the closest to what I like. And so, and it wasn't even that structured. They had their own barbaric quote unquote ways, but he was like, I like what y'all are doing there.
Yeah, I can work with this.
I can work with this. So impose this on everything.
Yeah.
And
put my law and order and stamp it on everybody.
Everything. You seem like the most easy to control in that regard because your own fear will make you easier to control.
Right. And ooh. If they do not do what I want them to do,
strike them down.
Use my children who are enslaved and my brother to wipe them out, to just exterminate them.
The Tempest,
the
twist that came with him, because you already knew shit was gonna happen. Like, I was waiting. I was like, When is he coming in? She got me good on that one.
I did not see it coming. I didn't know how he was going to,
because when they said he was going to show up at the yeah, center, I was like,
are we going to call him down? What is happening? And then he does show up, and then you find out how long he's been playing. Talk about a long time.
I was like, what were y'all doing? Why does he want you so badly? So badly that he will do all.
But you get that from when Yaina, with as well as having Enifa's memories, is just like, you know, like
she gets experience the maelstrom.
She was like, oh, I see, I get it. Like, does he know how blatant it is?
Is it just the attraction of chaos and change? Because change is attractive when we're in jobs that we hate. You know, the prospect of doing something different or going on a trip or buying something new, that sometimes that chaotic urge to do something that's outside of our norm.
True, but we also appealing. Like the structure of having
we like
the norm
stability,
well.
But yeah. we're attracted and we're drawn to Eshu. And pulled to towards, yeah.
As she called it, Eshu.
I was Eshu. Like,
she I was kept like, throwing, that's a good word. I'm going to use that word now.
This is the part, this is the Eshu. Thing. Okay. I was like, ma'am. I understand.
Which part?
I understand exactly what you're saying about the Eshu.
Yes,
that's such a human thing. At the same time, I was like, you cannot be using this as your excuse every time. You know, you just.
I was like, okay, 19, 20 years old, about to leave this world. Might as well. I was like, I probably would do it too.
All the things she was doing. There was a few.
I would probably make that choice myself.
I would douse her with some water. I was like.
That's why I was like, her grandma tried to tell her. She told her story. She was like,
I mean, you know, I was just, okay, so the Darn language, so this is what it is. The Darn language has a word for the attraction one feels to danger, Eshu. It is Eshu that makes warriors charge into hopeless battles and die laughing. Eshu is also what draws a woman to lovers who are bad for them. Men who would make poor fathers, women of the enemy. And I was like, ma'am, N.K. Jemisin, I need you to first of all chill. Because
get out of my head.
I was like, that draws women to lovers who are bad for them. I was like, I had that number. When I read that line, I closed the eyes again. I was like, not what
Eshu.
I needed to read.
She even gave you a word for it.
I know, because I'm about to be using it all the time.
Eshu. I was
but
like,
that's also how I approach life. I like to bungee jump. I want to skydive. Like, I want to change. Yeah, it's that attraction to like, doing something different. But I was like, ma'am, there were some times where I was like, is this turning into a porno? I was like, scandaloso.
I was like, for a part, I was like, I am so glad nobody can hear me listening to this.
food.
I was like, holy cow.
There's this other book I'm reading called, and I think you were in the car when I first played it. And
yes.
It was like,
I was like, okay.
This is the thing though, that book, I was looking up, you know, I always be stumbled across artists that I should listen to or like read or whatever.
Yeah.
And someone on somewhere recommended this author, and the book sounded interesting, and it was called You Made a Fool of Death with Your Beauty, and it was supposed to be like blah blah blah, this woman's coming back after her fiance dies in a horrible car crash. Oh. And it's supposed to be like her trying to like
move
through trauma and like start life and figure out who she is. And Chris and I are in the car on our way to see our parents.
Yes.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm running out of time with this book. This might be a good time to start this
She's
book.
Like, I'm going to listen to this book. I'm right? Like, okay, you know.
And literally the first chapter, and it kept going for a while, because yeah. Chris, the next week when I had to go to work, I was driving. So first story is Chris and I are in the car, and it just goes into a bathroom sex scene.
And
yes. I was like,
okay.
let me pause.
I was
and
like,
put on music. But then the following week, I'm going to work and I'm parking on the street. And I had my stereo on loud, but I was listening to it and my windows were down.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm parking, parallel parking, and this story. Woman and Paul is walking past me. I'm not going to repeat the lines, but it was so raunchy. And this woman stopped and looked at me, and I was like, still parallel parking. And I was just like, well, I can't stop, because if I stop parallel parking this traffic, but I was like, she seemed interested at the same time. And I wanted to be like, yell the name of the book out the window, but I thought that might be too forced. But just to say,
that's great.
I mean, these books, when they get real into it, I was like, ma'am, I didn't know I signed up for a soft porn.
Like, I didn't see that coming.
I was like, can y'all chill for a second?
Nobody warned me.
Right? They broke a bed with this shit.
I mean, let's be real. He was the god of death and chaos.
Well, he's not the god of death.
God of darkness and chaos. I was like, so it got a little chaotic.
It got a little chaotic. Y'all.
Her room was demolished. She said, do what you want with me. I mean, he took her right to the maelstrom.
He told her she had to say that. I was like, wait, why'd you have to say it like that? Why couldn't you just be like, you know what, don't kill me, but let's have a good time?
They had a great time. The room was demolished.
That probably would have saved us a lot of problems, though.
That was after the first time with the dark and the tendrils, and I was
yeah.
like,
oh, in the God. Bathroom yeah. after she hooked up with
Terrell.
Yeah, I was trying like, not to talk.
Yeah,
yes, it's over. But yeah, I was like, damn, Terrell.
I mean,
she felt bad. That's why she gave him the kingdom at the end. It's like that thing
she
where
already
you,
knew. She already
well,
knew.
It's like that thing where you hook up with somebody and you're like, ah, you're a nice person, but it was not good. So you try to do something
but
nice.
But it wasn't the fact that it was not good.
You like, didn't fulfill
said,
her.
But she also said, because I was like, he's not what you want. That's mm-hmm. why.
Because that's what I'm saying. It's bad because it's not what you wanted. It didn't fulfill you. But you know this is a nice person, so you want to do right by them. And you're like, damn, I'm just in this.
So what do you do? You just go in the bathroom and whisper to the dark.
Well, I don't have that option, Kristen. But you do some other things in your life that you're like, damn, I didn't need to be in this situation.
It's like, I don't know why. It just kind of made me think of when you were telling me that story about you going, skiing with your friends and how that the one kid who was,
he was skiing without. He was skiing, and he literally, we were at this drop that we all had been apprehensive. And my friends are skiers, but we did it at one point, and this kid literally rolls, like slides up to the edge, does a cool little turn. I don't know who the fuck he was talking to.
You said he was talking to a friend or something.
But at first we didn't know. So in the context, he just like turns and then like, it's like, you just got to drop in, baby. And then jumps backwards into the pit, this like downhill climb. And we were like, the hell
I was like. And that was like.
That
came to my mind. It was like, you just got to drop in, baby.
You just, you know, from the mouth of babes.
And literally drop right down from where you were in the universe.
The bed.
destroy the room. And you know, some things still remained all right, though.
This made me think, though. It must have sucked for Naha, the physical human form, to be waking up to corpses sometimes.
Well, yeah, she does mention how... The human version of Naha mentions how it's been very... multiple times.
Right? Like, can you imagine if that's your life and you went into your oblivion and then you woke up next to a dead body
in your life.
Crumpled? I don't know.
Yeah, with bits and pieces of memory of what happened to that person. But you can't really put it all together. And that basically you are, Samina.
Well, that wasn't Samina who was doing
no,
all that.
No, but what Samina did here. To him, though.
Yeah, she did a lot of things. I mean, we don't want to spoil that much for you if you
haven't. But you were like,
you shouldn't be listening if you haven't read it. But, like,
Samina.
She was a good villainess. I wish you know what I'm really hoping? I know you said that the second book kind of follows what happens to in Tempest.
I don't know if it happened. That was my guess. I don't know that for sure.
But I'm curious. I would love to go have a flashback of Kenneth, like a full flashback, and be like, and just watch, because there's certain questions that still were not answered. And because sometimes this is the best thing and the worst thing about first person point of view when writing, is that you'll never know what was going through other people. So you're left wondering. Right. Kind of some of like decisions made or why they responded this way, because it's like living in your own head. You'll never know why that other person really truly did what they did. You have what you assume, or what maybe the information or what they tell you, but there could be a whole other shit you don't even
but
know about.
I feel like it was this story was really good in the fact that that's just how life is. Like, sometimes things happen and we have no idea what the other person was thinking. It was like, I don't see how you got to this point. And then other times because she talks about that with Tyrell. Yaina talks about that with Tyrell, about how she doesn't agree with what he did because the choice that he made was still bad.
Mm-hmm.
But she can understand why he made that choice. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like, we talk about, like, the better of evils.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and she was like, and being in Sky, which is the kingdom where they, mm-hmm. the capital city where they are, like, that's what, and among the Aramari, you end up often having to make those choices. Like, okay, I have to do this bad thing, or I can do this bad thing over here, which would be less of a bad thing. But one way or the other, it's still going to be a bad thing.
It's just, what is the lesser of two?
And which one can I be able to live with?
Mm-hmm. And I would have made the same choice he did, because it's like, you want these people who can't suffer, or this one person that is still suffering, but like is stronger than the other ones? And what was I gonna say? There's just like, there's a lot of decisions that go on, and everyone's always like telling her, like, are you a Mary, or are you just the barbarian? Like, do you have the coldness and calculativeness to like do this? Do you have the ability to just be cold hearted? And she's constantly being caught up in this, like, having at first, and then she gets kind of caught up in, do I need to prove that I am, or how do I work it if I'm not this, like, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, there's parts of it that you are, and there's parts that aren't. And it's like, but you are going to make of yourself, like, what that is.
But also the comparisons with her mother, like, there's no way you can
be person. You can't be your mother.
You can't be your mother, nor can you be someone's memory of someone else. And it's like always coming back to, like,
they wanted her to be the mother too.
Yeah, they were just like, oh, you're not like your mother, or your mother didn't prepare you, or your mother or this
even
or that,
when
or,
they were
or
wanted
that.
Her to be Enefa, and it's like, oh, you're her, but you're not her.
Exactly.
Or you have, and it's like, you, the gods, I think, did a little better, because they were like, I know you're not her. But it was hard because there was the essence of her.
And they missed her.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like the fact that it was just like, that was a good point, that the gods are a little bit better about it. But I liked how Sia would always say, like, you're so mortal, because he was like, we don't see things the way you do. We don't look at things the way you do. Like, the things that horrified Yaina.
Mm-hmm.
Sia was like, these are just pity little slights. But I was like, I'm horrified too, Sia. Like, this should not be happening. But it's just like, he was like, these things don't matter to me. What matters mm-hmm. is what happened to Enifa. That's mm-hmm. what matters. So there was just so much. Yeah. So much.
I mean, it's called 100,000 Kingdoms. There's 100,000 thoughts that occurred in this. And I think that I'm excited to read the second book, even though I don't know where it's going to go, even the third book. So I feel like there's all these points that I want to talk about in the terms of how, like Kure and when she betrayed them, and like the other, like, what's her name? Zakran? Zakran?
Zakan. Okay, so I was talking about how I enjoy, like, all that those political, like, maneuvering and the negotiation of trying mm-hmm. to figure everything out when you're coming into a situation that the level of it, you're not prepared for completely.
And still trying to navigate it.
And still trying to figure everything out and who to trust and how much you can trust them and all of these things and I feel
like the only reason she trusted Tyrell is because on the first night when Shmia tried to sick Naha on her, he like saved her life.
Come
basically.
On, I need you to focus.
Right? I was surprised he didn't slap her in the face.
I was waiting for it, but of course he couldn't do that. I'm sure he would. He would have.
Yeah.
But still, And even how he had to do certain things that she didn't like mm-hmm. and having to go back and be like, are we still friends? I know you're angry with me because I had to do this, but I'm hoping we can still be friends. Mm-hmm. And it was like, we are still friends. I know I can trust you. But I already knew that I couldn't trust you fully, just like you can't trust me fully because we don't really know each other,
but they ended up in the end.
Right.
Trusting.
Sure, because that's all you can do, right? Mm. There was so much. I really appreciated this story. So.
Yeah, the layers on layers on layers on layers. Yes. And we didn't even spoil 90% of, like, the little
twists and turns. There's no way. We would
like,
have to talk about the entire story.
Right. We didn't even talk about all the characters because there's the three different children and how they all engage differently with Yaena.
Yes.
And even just like Raylad,
yeah.
His interactions with her, because I think that's important as a juxtaposition of like the villain that is Shmia. She has an SC in her name. Samina. You don't know. I was like, I don't know. And it's supposed to be a white European name. I was like, well, not European, but you know what I mean. So I didn't really know, but.
I did like the pictures that I saw some pictures that they had drawn of like the 100,000 kingdoms, like some of
the artwork. You'll have to show it to me later.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I didn't see it because I was like looking up stuff for this about her interviews. You know, sometimes we find stuff with the interviews for the offer for the specific books.
Mm-hmm.
And I was seeing stuff for her other recent one, the Earth Trilogy, the Broken Earth series.
Oh.
And a few other, and like some other short stories she read. But I was like, there was next to nothing on her talking about this one. Maybe because it was her first book and it was 2010. But even still, I was like, we had YouTube in 2010. So I don't know. But I'm really excited to read the next two books. And honestly,
yes, I am as well.
For it being, you know, it is overwhelming to see the whole three with each other. But I've marked myself in, so I know where it was.
It goes by pretty quickly once you get into it.
It's not that big of a book.
And then it just kind of flies by and you're like, whoa.
I mean,
said at the end of the book there was like a glossary.
Appendix and stuff that I still need to go to. I did, you know, when it got to certain things, it's a classification of terms and stuff. When it got to, and a historical record of the family, Ara Mary Family Notes Volume 1 from the Collections of
Volume 1. She's
very big into world building.
The only time I've ever seen that was with Robert Jordan, because he also had something like that at the end of his books.
I feel like I've read one or two in the past, not from those particular authors, but that have something similar to that. But it's very rare, you're right, that they go into that
level of detail.
So I was going to look up what we were doing for October, which is our final. Oh, that's that right. Is,
we're going to clone Tyrone.
Yes. So if you are going to be joining us again in October 2023, we will be discussing the pivotal film.
On Netflix.
On Netflix called They Cloned Tyrone. And I have to rewatch it again because I watched it when it first came out. But it was during that whole debacle with Netflix being an asshole. If we could get rid of Netflix, I would. But it has too many good things.
Yeah.
But they're assholes. That's a problem.
Anyway. And then therein lies a problem. But on a happier note,
read the book.
How many?
Oh, yeah.
Fuzzy Froze. Yeah, read the book for sure. And then read the ones after because we're going to talk about those. But how many Fuzzy Froze would you give The 100,000 Kingdoms by N.K. Jemisin?
I feel like I always give a lot of high numbers, except for that thing for Kindred and some other things we won't talk about. I would give, I hope that came out on here because I want people to know.
Kindred is a Bane.
Not the book, the TV show from FX. Don't
let it upset you.
Don't let it upset you like it upset us.
Oh gosh.
That's a time in my life I can't get back.
Oh.
So I would give it, okay.
That was worse than the one we saw about the gin.
Oh, God, yeah. I was, like, trying to think. I've been blocking out in my head the ones that are, like, really bad. Anyway, I would say I'm hovering, like, between 3.5 and 4 stars. I think I'm on the 4-star path, or 4 Fuzzy Froze.
Okay.
Because I liked the direction it took. The twist within Tempest, and even like as you're discovering more about the gods, because that's where I was hungry for. Like, you know, I like mythology and world building.
I love that.
And so as they kept giving more, I was like, give me more. Yes. I need to know what happened. What are the siblings? So that's why I'm leaning more towards the 4. But then there was like moments where I was like, I don't know how to put it. Maybe it's just because I have a lot going on in my life. So maybe that's why, where I was just kind of like, but then, yeah, you're right. Like once I got it, maybe, and that was before I took the trip. So who knows? So 4, I'll stick with 4.
Okay.
Fuzzy Froze. How many fuzzy froze? How many huzzy froze do you give it?
Huzzy hoes. I'm going to go with, I don't usually do too much with the decimal points, but I'm going to go with 4.75.
Ooh, Fuzzy Froze. Super high. Now I feel like an asshole.
Well, you don't have to because, like I said, I got a chance to listen to it. So to be able to close my eyes and imagine what it is that I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a chance to listen to it twice.
I got to read it once, yeah.
Right. So, for me, I found that to be, I like the world building. I like the mythology with the gods. Thought that was really great. I like the twists. I like the fact that I was like, piecing it together. Like I am some type of detective.
But also still not having the full answer until it happens. Yeah.
Right. And then being like, what?
Because I feel like there were times where you'd be like, shit, what's about to happen? Even as I was reading, I was like, oh, what they doing? And it's not like you can see into the book and turn around the corner. Right. But
then, you know, like they say, hindsight is 22. Yeah. Like listening to it the second time, I was like, yeah, I can see how all of this, like she was leaving that trail of breadcrumbs the whole time. And then you're like, oh, I see
like
how
writers do that.
It comes together because I'm like, I'm seeing bits and pieces of it the first time. And now I'm like, I get the whole picture now.
I feel like that makes you want to watch or read again when you like every time it still links to the same clue and you might forget it or been a while, but like you catch little details or you link more things that like, oh, I missed this the first time.
Right.
Or I missed this the second time.
Yes. And for me, one of the things that it made me think when I first listened to it was, I wish I had the story when I was younger to read, because I would have devoured the entire series and everything else she ever wrote, because it was, for me, it was just that good. I really, really liked it. And I liked the fact that even though
her character is biracial, bicultural.
And Naha was basically a white dude. But he turned into a brown dude.
He could turn into whatever he wanted.
I know. I was like, why? But
he
could
turn into whatever you want.
I guess maybe because he was with, you know, this actually made, sorry to interrupt. This was one thought. I thought it was interesting, the conversation of Naha's character of like night and darkness of like, it's so, there was a point where he was like, I'm whatever you all want and desire and your fears and your things. And he's like, I can't tune it out. I can't stop it. I hear all of it. And it's what you have made me, that darkness. You have made me that evil. In the same way, going to that conversation of like the dangerous places in the white man's mind is like, you have made me this dangerous beast or monster, when really I'm just different. I'm just something that means that there's going to be change.
I'm not something that will harm you unless you provoke me. Mm-hmm. Like other than, and then how E-Tempest, you know, is different from, because they have him being like white.
Yes.
But that's not,
but then when they
what you see.
Give him his punishment. Or no, when he comes down from his, he's chocolate.
Yeah.
A little light chocolate.
Which is kind of like this like little picture here that they have.
So how many?
This image, it's easier to see when it's got my other, when it's on my larger monitor. But still, it's just like, I'm like, I can definitely see that when it comes to religion, like how it gets twisted and turned in order to suit the narrative of whoever's in power. And then, so all these thoughts are in my head. So that's why I was like, really, I really appreciate knowing.
Go ahead, get your float train of thought going. I'll figure out what I just did.
Okay. Well, I appreciate like knowing what it was that I am, I was looking at. I feel, or reading or listening to. It was just really, it was really great. It was really great to read something by someone that looks like me and it be so freaking good.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this should be a TV show. Like, how come this is not a TV show?
I would watch this shit.
It could at least be a season or two, and then you move on to the next one and make that a season or two or something like that.
It would have been amazing. And I also like when she stumbles upon the library and she sees that like Ineffa was also dark skinned.
Yes.
And
look
like
then
her.
She's looking and she's like, oh my gosh. And that's when it starts, that portion kind of clicks into place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it's just so amazing, because a lot of times we hear about like God and you talk about like white Jesus.
Mm-hmm. White Jesus, like, white God.
And I was watching another YouTube video and it had this this man, and I can't remember, I think maybe he was Nigerian, I'm not sure, but he was African, but he's African, and he was talking about, you know, somebody had something about how Africa was the most undeveloped country or continent compared to Europe and Asia, and compared to Europe and Asia and some other location. And it was like, well, what do you mean by the most underdeveloped? Like, what are you comparing it to? What development? Like, all these other questions. It was like, what, the way you can take a look at what, like, he talked about the, like, St. Peter's Basilica. And he said, you know, if you think about how you look at St. Peter's Basilica and it's huge and it's grand and everything, and you're looking at that, and the reason why it was built that way is because for the people that you're supposed to see that God is greater than you and that you're small and not and insignificant, then that makes sense of why it would be that way for those people. But he was like, but if you are in certain areas in Africa and you believe
that God and your ancestors or your beings are in everything,
and they live, you buried them in the ground and they lived in the same house with you. And of course you don't need a huge, and you like, you don't need a huge building to show, to worship
to
them,
you,
to remind you. They can be in a small like shrine, not that far from your home, because that's where
that's
they were. They exist among you. It doesn't make one better or worse than the other.
It's just
two different ways of looking at something.
Yeah.
And it was like, And I feel like that's the biggest thing, is like when we stop looking at different ways of seeing something, and we're just like, you can only see it this way. Mm-hmm. This is the only way. This is the right way. And if you don't see do this
way, then you're wrong.
Right. And then we punish you for it. Mm-hmm. And I just love how it's such a good reflection of the world that we live in, of what she built.
She did talk about, and one thing that I saw, that she writes, like, she's influenced when she comes up with a story about what's going on in her world. Mm-hmm. Like, when and this is why I kept trying to look for stuff about when she talked about this series, because when she writes the Broken Earth series, it happened right after Michael Brown was shot. And there were the protests, and then there was also a few other things like the Black Lives Matter movement.
Right.
And so the story kind of came together based on her perceiving and taking in these events in her world. And so I'm curious, I mean, like you said, this is what's happening in our world today, but it's like, what triggered, or like, what's the thing that had her put this story together, and like, what was that voice?
What was
that,
going on in 2010?
Right, or before 2010, because that's when
that's published. Yeah,
you know, there's so much that was going on, and it yeah. So I'm still on the hunt to see if I can find something about that, because I'm very curious. And she says she writes based on what's happening around her. It's like influenced by what's happening around her, but she also has a shit ton of other stuff. So
right, but basically back to the question, the original question. Yes, I would give it 4.75 Fuzzy Froze, because I really enjoyed the story, and if I had the desires of my heart, I would have a company where I could create a TV show.
Gotcha.
TV series.
Well, it might happen. We're still waiting for them to make
Blood and Bone. I would do all of them.
Oh, it's like
HBO. And I would do a new version of Kindred.
Thank goodness. You should just start
Parable
it.
Of the Sower.
I don't know where you're going to get the funding, but you
see, therein lies
go
the
talk
world.
To Jay-Z and Beyonce. Maybe they'll support it.
Yes, because I have access to Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Hey,
you know what?
When there's a will, there's a way.
I will go and build my own table.
You can build that. I'm just saying
they can invest in my table.
The supplies and the building material.
True.
And then you just get to do your own thing. Anyway, so we're going to put the crayons back into the box this time.
That's right. And we will see y'all next month
for our last of the season.
That's right. They cloned Tyrone. Mm.
Boop, boop.
Look for us on all major podcast platforms. Don't forget to like and leave a review.
Music by Moon Apple XX. You can find them on Instagram, as well as Art Done by Midnight.